One of the young people taking part now at this stage, and our first participant this morning is Matthew. And Matthew is going to come and read to us God's word over the course of the day. Our psalm for the week is going to be read by two of our young people. And so we're going to ask Matthew to come to the lectern at the front here now, please. He's going to read the first half of Psalm 105. And then immediately after Matthew reads, then we have the first item of praise. It is our sisters, Sarah and Rhoda. They've recorded this piece for us, and it's going to be played afterwards. And then immediately after, we're going to announce all three parts now. So Matthew's going to read, then Sarah and Rhoda is going to sing, and then immediately after Sarah and Rhoda, Paul's going to come and give a report of one of the topics that we've covered this year. Thank you, Matthew.
We're reading from Psalm 105, verse 1. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvellous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he has commanded to a thousand generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in a number, yea, very few and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure, and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham.
Thank you. Friday the 9th of October 2020, the Youth Fellowship were finally able to meet back up again after a lengthy absence due to COVID. At this meeting, we had a talk on the topic of euthanasia and why it is wrong and against what is taught in the Bible. In today's society, euthanasia is seen as a gentle and easy death, and that it is the kind thing to do to someone that is suffering in one way or another. Man likes to think that they are God, so they think that they don't have to answer to anyone and that they can do whatever they want. Atheism believes that there is no heaven or hell, so there is no penalty to someone getting help to end their life. In evolutionist teachings, humans are just animals, so people will just act like animals and kill each other without any thought. Some modern Christians even believe that euthanasia is okay, as God will just love them no matter what they do. In 1920, an essay written by German attorney Karl Binding and psychiatrist Alfred Hock called Permitting the Destruction of Life Unworthy of Life. And this is often characterized as a stepping stone towards the Nazi genocide policies. Later in 1939, Adolf Hitler organized what he saw as the mercy killings of disabled people in Germany. Most of this was done without parental consent. God gave us the sixth commandment, which states, "Thou shalt not kill." This applies to euthanasia and assisted suicide, and also to abortion. In the European Convention on Human Rights, the second article is the right to life. Although this isn't an absolute right, as killing is legal in some cases, such as self-defence, war, or even in capital punishment. Let me just read two verses from 1 Samuel, and it's chapter 31, verses 3 and 4. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armour-bearer, "Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armour bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. The armour bearer was sore afraid because he knew that it was murder and that it would be wrong in the eyes of the Lord. Euthanasia is wrong because it takes away the need for research into medicine. Why try to treat someone when you can just kill them? It also gives too much power to medical professionals, as it makes them less accountable. It says in the Bible in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." This teaches us that God has an appointed time for us to die. It is up to Him when our time on this earth is over, not us.
I do want to thank all of our young people that have taken part this morning. It has been a blessing to have them taking part in various ways with the reading of the scriptures and our two sisters singing, and also Paul bringing that report. And we do look forward to the remainder of our young people taking part again this evening. There'll be another piece on song tonight, the other half of the psalm, and also another report of the topics that we have covered throughout the year. And I certainly do want to thank the young people for their attendance throughout the year and also their participation. Certainly the topics, as you've heard, they're ones that are very relevant to the days. Whenever it was set up, whenever it first came, we went through, as it were, the letters of the alphabet. And our youth leader, Brother Stephen, came up with a number of topics. And then along the way, we've changed some here and there as well, as young people have desired to study certain issues. And it has been a blessing and a trust and encouragement to the young people, even to teach them and to train them, even in these ethical, these moral issues that are coming more and more to the fore in the days in which we live. So, as I said, I do want to thank each one that has taken part this morning, and we do look forward to those that are coming again this evening. We're going to sing one more hymn together just before our brother comes to minister in God's word. It is the hymn 462, and you'll find it on the page 363. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. 462, and stand after the introduction, please. It is a joy to have with us today as our visiting speaker, the Reverend Stephen McRae, the minister of our Carrickfergus congregation. We want to welcome him sincerely in the Saviour's name, and of course Cherie as well, and little Jacob, his youngest boy this day. We want to thank them all for coming. Jacob's glad to be here just to see me, aren't you, Jacob? No. But it is a joy knowing Stephen for a good number of years now. And it's always a blessing to be in his fellowship and in company with him. And we're looking forward to what he has to say and from the Lord today. So, brother, you're welcome. Come on ahead. May the Lord bless you.
Well, it is good to be with you this morning. And to be able to bring God's precious word, as Jacob calls Timothy, or his family, the Timothys, as he comes to see them. And I'm sure he is glad to be here as well. As we are glad to be here to bring God's precious word, I know that your minister had invited us to come last year. It didn't work out for us, but we thank the Lord that we're here with you this morning. I'll be here this evening as well. We trust the Lord will bless our hearts as we come to bring God's precious and infallible truth. And we trust also that as young people have taken part this morning, some are relieved having taken part. Others will look forward to be taking part this evening. And we pray that the Lord will be even their help and very present help in a time of need. We are going to read just a few verses of scripture this morning from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 24. And we're going to read just a few verses of scripture, and we're going to settle on one verse in particular. And I trust that as we do so, the Lord will bless. We'll read just three verses together, then we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll seek the Lord. Matthew 24, verse number 42. And we'll read the words of the word together. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the bridegroom of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Amen. We know the Lord will bless even the public reading, even to our hearts this morning. Let's just seek God in prayer. Father in heaven, as we do come before thee, we delight to know that thou art the King of kings and Lord of all. Lord, as we come on this youth Sunday morning, Lord, we thank thee for each and every young person which have taken part. And we thank thee for, Lord, the songs that we've sang. And it is so sweet to trust in Jesus. Oh Lord, we thank thee that we can sing those words, knowing that Christ being the center of our lives. And Lord, the one who's able to answer prayer. Lord, whether it is to an older person, a middle-aged person, or a young person, Lord, you're still the same God. Lord, we thank thee, oh Lord, that we can sing as we sang earlier on as well. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. And Lord, as we come now on this youth Sunday, oh Lord, we pray for help given from above. Oh Lord, we claim the power, oh Lord, and we ask for it from above as well. Oh Lord, we pray, oh God, that thou wilt fill us to the uttermost. And Lord, we pray that you'll help those that also hear this morning's message. There would be a word in season to the youngest, right through to the oldest. Lord, we'll go home knowing that the Lord our God has been in the meeting and also has given us a word in season to our hearts. Lord, do bless us and do us good, Lord, we pray, in the Saviour's name's sake. Amen and amen. As I read those short verses of Scripture to you this morning, I was thinking about this Youth Sunday and thinking about the young people, but not only the young people, every single person, because we all matter and we all need to have a word in season to our hearts. Singing of especially that verse number 44, and it says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Maybe you've looked at that verse on many occasions, and you've looked at parts of it, and maybe your minister has preached on it on occasions, and men and days gone by. But I just want to take four words of this verse, and it is those words, be ye also ready. But before we get to those words, there is that word, therefore. Therefore is an encouraging word. It means that we should take notice. So, before we get to those words, I think it's something we should do is take notice of what is coming next. So we are to take notice. I ask you to do so even this morning because I want to help the young people to grow as Christians. It is the desire of the minister of the session of this congregation. It is my desire for people, young people in this land, that young people would follow after God. They would grow as Christians, and that they would, in this generation, stand up for the things of God. That this generation will know that there is a people, a remnant of people, that know and love the Lord. You know, I grew up, as your minister did, in a Christian home. I grew up in a minister's home. And I count that a privilege to be able to be born into a minister's home. And being a generation, the next generation who still love the Lord. And I saw the Lord move in many ways in days gone by. I desire that happens again in this day we live in. But I want you to be challenged this morning to live after God. To learn there's more than the world has to offer. And to learn that there's more in Christ Jesus. But I must say, for the young people, the world has its temptations. The world has its desires, and the world has its pleasures. And the world looks around about us and we say, it looks so exciting. But it also doesn't show you, it breaks many a dream. It breaks many a family. And breaks many a heart. And the things of this world may seem pleasurable, but they are but for a season. And then they waste and vanish away. You could get the latest mobile phone. Many people always say, I want to get the latest mobile phone. It doesn't matter to me nowadays. Maybe younger, but today it doesn't matter to me. But people say, I want to get the latest mobile phone. But soon that becomes yesterday's mobile phone and you need to have a different one once again. Only for it to come in a season and then the world moves on. But let me also warn the young people this morning, because we are only here for a season. I'll give you a little example. Maybe I wasn't going to, but my nephew would have been 21 years of age yesterday. 21 years of age yesterday. But yet, in a moment of time, at the age of 13 years of age, he passed away. Young person, I want to encourage you that no matter what age you are, get your eyes on the Lord, because we're only here for a period of time. You know, in a moment of time, we'll vanish away. So young person, I want, and it's my desire that each and every one would draw nigh to God, that you would seek after God, that we would, when we draw nigh to God, that God would draw nigh to each and every one of us. That when we come to this thought of the scriptures which is before us, we would see that the Lord desires that we would walk before him. Child of God, it is what God would love us to have, is that clean hands and a pure heart. To tell others the need of God and need of God's salvation. A young person standing up for God in the generation which follows the world. And I pray that the young people would stand up. Because many people stand up today for things that are wrong. They call everything that's evil, they call it good. They call everything that's good, they call it evil. But I want us to bring our hearts, that our hearts will be in submission to the Lord. You know, as I was reading this passage of scripture, my mind was cast over, you don't have to turn to it, I'll read it to you, to John chapter number 10. As I was reading those verses, and surely it was a challenge, it says in verse 9, I am the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. So young person, I want to encourage you to walk after the ways of God, to live after the things of God in this day and age, where Northern Ireland and the United Kingdom around this world wants to forget God. I want you to stand up and kneel your colours to the mast. Even this morning, wherever you are, those that are listening online, but also those in 6 miles across, kneel your colours to the mast and stand up for God. So I want to speak this morning on being busy for the Lord. Being busy for the Lord. I want to take those four words that are in that passage of scripture, and I trust it will be a word for your heart. It says, be ye also ready. And I want to take those four words. First one is the word be. And we're going to look at that first word. Be is a doing word, it is a busy word, and is, when I was thinking of this passage, it is that the young people should be be busy for the Lord. That we should be a people busy for the things of God. You know, so many people are busy doing so many different things in this world today. They're busy at work, they're busy at play, they're busy doing things, things that are natural to them, some things that are unnatural to them, and they're doing all these things. But however they come, or however they seem, many people, when they take busyness, they add a worldly sense to it. And they say, well, you know, I'm actually happy in being busy in the world. They say, I'm actually happy in doing what I do. And maybe some people say, I have a form of Christianity. Just like any of you gathered here, whether a young person or an older person, I'm sure now you're looking back and you say, I wish that only if I had given more to the Lord when I was younger, given more to the things of God. So I encouraged, by the way, and I do this on many occasions in my own congregation, tell others, if you're a believer in Christ, an older person, I ask you to put your arm around a young person and say that, and put your arm around them and tell them the mistakes that you've had in your life and warn them that lest they too make those mistakes as well. Because I know that we are to be a people who help those that are growing in this world. But there's many people today who will say, I'm busy and I am doing the work of a so-called form of Christianity. That's not what the Bible says. But many people are acting like us so-called Christians. And they're acting and they live by this and they're saying, this is my Christianity by name. And they're living their life and they say, it doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you must be born again. And we have to turn from our sinful ways. And people say, but I'm going to heaven. And I'll do whatever I like. And they'll keep on doing whatever they like until they get caught or checked. And none of us like to be caught, do we? None of us like to be checked. But remember the Bible tells us, be sure because your sins will find you out. And young person, it is the case that we often need to be busy. We need to be instructed, we need to be taught, we need to be helped in the things of God. You know, if we were left to ourselves, there were things we'd say, well, I don't understand that, but it's good to have those that help and be able to teach us along the way. But we need instruction. We need to be going. We need to be getting ourselves into the things of God. We need to be getting ourselves that we have our hearts, that our eyes will be fixed on the things of God rather than the things of the world. And I want to encourage the young people to be busy for the Lord. Because when you're busy for the Lord, you'll leave the things of the world alone. When you're busy for the Lord, you'll desire to do a work in your home church here in Six Mile Cross. When you're busy for the Lord, you say, I won't just leave it to the minister, but I'll do it and I'll do a work for the Lord because it's a desire of my heart. And I encourage you to be active in the things of God. Whether that is, say, going to the barbecue, putting your name down in the sheet, or saying, I want to help out and clean up the day after. And maybe the minister says he's going to make a big mess, so we need to clean up after him afterwards. I don't know, but the reality is that we need to have that time where we do that little bit of being busy for the Lord. You see, a busy person for the Lord is a glad person. A busy person for the Lord is a person who is full of joy, knowing that the joy of the Lord brings our strength. So young person and older, what are you doing this morning? What are you doing, or what are you busy doing? Are you busy for the Lord? But the question is, what takes up your time? What time what has taken up your time that you've excluded God out of? Because your life is precious. The work of God is precious. We're only here for a period of time. And whether it's in university, whether it's in school, whether it's in the workplace, what keeps you from being busy in the work of God? What takes up your life? I fear it's more than you're willing to tell someone else. But I know that God seeks us to be busy. You say, does God really seek us to be busy? Yes, he does. You look at Luke chapter number 4, verse number 8. God desires us to do something for him. And we're going to look at a few verses here of scripture. And then we're going to look at Luke, Matthew, and then into Joshua 24. Luke 4, verse number 8. And it says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And then this is the last bit. It says, and him only shalt thou serve. And God requires of the child of God to serve him, to give their life, to do a work for God. Look at the Great Commission. Matthew 28. Look at the verse number 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And there we find that the commission of God is set forth that we should do a work for God, being busy for the Lord. Do you know there's something more in the Bible? Over in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. And I want you to keep your hand there for a few moments when you turn there, because there's a number of verses I want you to remember when we come to this passage. It says in Joshua 24 and the verse number 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of the fathers served with their own other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. And here's the last part that says, but as for me and my house, I will be busy. I will serve the Lord. I will serve the Lord. And there we find the desire of a young person, an older person, the family. We will serve the Lord. Busy for God. There is a great question in that thought of being busy. Will your faith persevere to help you? Though the world stands against you, will you stand in faith in Christ Jesus? Basically, are you willing to stand up for Jesus today? That we, having read that verse, will be challenged. Challenged to follow after God. We read that verse 15. Then look at it further. Look at the warning in verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God and is jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And God has all and told you that he'll do these things for good. Now look at verse 21. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord, or we will be busy for the Lord. You see, that was the desire of the people, that they wanted to be busy for in the things of God. And when Joshua says to the young people, to the older people, what will you do? He says, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Look further at verse number 24. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice will we obey. He says, we will be busy for God. We will serve God. And maybe you say, I am busy in my own things. And sure, the children of Israel didn't have as much to do as I have today. They didn't have many things to deal with as I do. Well, the answer really is, are you sure about that? They had times of torture. They had times of pain. They had times where they had long walks of rebellion. They had times of lack of faith. They had times of being captured. They had times of being slaves. They had times where they had water standing in front of them, knowing not how they can get through it, the enemy coming behind them. But they went through with God. They had many a battle. They faced many a failure. But they knew in the midst of their failures that if you relied on God, God would bring them through. Yet when we come to the end of Joshua's life, and just I want to just quickly, there's time going on. It says in verse 31 of that same chapter, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." It started off as they gave their lives, and that generation of people, they kept on serving God. And then the next generation came up, and the generation when Joshua passed away and the elders were still there, and there's people that still follow God. The next generation come again, and they're still serving God. Still serving God. And they stayed, of course. So child of God, young person this morning, being busy for the Lord helps you to walk before God. And I would encourage you to get a friendship with the Lord. Also, when you're in friendship, get in good Christian friendship. I know maybe you say of other people, as long as they're not getting you down or taking you down. And if they're taking you away from the things of God, you know what you do? Invite them along to this church. Invite them along to hear God's precious word. Tell them there's a word you need to hear. Just be busy for the Lord. Start by living your life that others see there's something different. There's something different. We all know of the preacher in the scriptures. As you come to the preacher, we come to Solomon. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, he comes with this word. He says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." And that tells us, just be busy. Just do that little work for the Lord. It encourages us to keep sowing. It encourages us just to keep working in the things of God, knowing that we shall find it. That we find that bread that we've cast after many days. You see, that picture that's there before us is a casting or a doing work. And then in verse 6 of that same chapter, you don't have to turn to it. It says, "In the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either that is, or whether they shall be alike or like good." And there we find that young person, being busy means that you're not distracted by sinful pleasures. You're not distracted for things that are just there for a season. But you're being busy for the Lord. And I'm not going into it this morning. But in Ecclesiastes 11, you'll find in verse 7, there's the light. You can find that there's also days of darkness as well. You find it says, "In all that cometh, there's a future." And it tells us in verse 9 that we're to rejoice. It tells us what rejoicing in the ways of God. It also reminds us of the judgment that is to come in that chapter. But verse 10 brings us, it says, that the preacher, "Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." And then he says, look at verse 12, 13 and 14 of chapter 12. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of man. For God shall bring every work unto judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So let thy life be busy for God, young person. Just be busy for God. Quickly, and very quickly, it says, "Be ye." The thought of the word "ye" is a singular word. It is a word of an individual. The point is that an individual has a time to do things. An individual has a work that you need to do. We all know of the words in Matthew chapter Matthew 7, where it says, "Ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find." And those words in verse 7, 8, they're timely promises. There are promises if we stand up for God, if we do something for God, we ask God that we will see even in the latter rain. And young person, there's no point waiting for some older person just to have to do something they've done before. Help them out. Stand with them. Be there for them. And if you love God in this old secular world who hates God, if you love God, desire to do something for God. There's a message that the world needs to hear. I don't know. There's a generation, I've told it again and again. Maybe they don't know many in the generation that's coming up. Young person, it's for you to tell this generation growing up about the things of God. Who's going to tell the world? Who's going to tell Northern Ireland to keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Who's going to tell them that they need to lift up their eyes and see the glory of God? Who's going to tell them about the precious wonders of God's saving grace? So is there a young person, an individual, as ye, a person, individual person, in 6 Mile Cross, or wherever you are today listening this morning, that you can personally, and you're going to personally desire to, make an impact in this land? I'm just going to read it very quickly in Psalm 121. You know the verses. It says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and earth. And a young person say, how can I do something in this land? Rely on God. Look to God. Look to God. So be ye. Very quickly also. The word also here is telling you to do something the same as others have done before. Proclaim the same message. We have once been told the glorious message of God's saving grace. That message has reached into our heart and it's good news. And it's challenged our souls. And the word of God has penetrated our hearts. And you're saved, young person, older person. And young person, you're saved, yes, by the grace of God. But a generation before you had a love for the things of God and desire that there be a church here in 6 Mile Cross. The desire that we would have the Free Presbyterian Church denomination. They would have desire that people would hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ and be gloriously saved. And where others did a work before, where others were challenged by God to do that work before, here in 6 Mile Cross, it is now, young person, your time. It is now your time to take up that banner. It is your time to, as it were, to have the baton passed to you. And it's your time to be counted for the Lord. You see, it says also, that means that it also is an occasion where you need to follow the Lord. Very quickly, and time has just gone on, I'm going to close this in a few moments and we're going to have a word of prayer. I was reading a verse of scripture in Psalm 78. I want to read it to you. It says that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should rise and declare to them to their children. Verse 7. That's verse 6. Psalm 78, verse 7 now. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Underline that verse in Scripture, young person, older person. Psalm 78, verse 6 and 7. But we're to give ear unto God. We're to call upon God. And I want you to encourage you to read even that chapter. It says, give ear, listen to the things of God. What God has told us, do not let it be hid. Because it says we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. There's a hope, verse 6, the generation to come might hear. There's a hope in God that their hope would be set on God. So child of God this morning, young person, what do you hope for? Do you hope for a people, and do you hope that people also will know what you know? That God is almighty, that God is able to save, God is able to save even to the least of the people, or the youngest person, or to the older person. Child of God this morning, will you be busy for God from this day forth? That people in this community will know that God reigns in heaven and reigns over our lives. So young person, we end really where we started with a plea. And we close of the word saying, be ready. Are you faithful? Are you ready to be faithful? Are you ready to get wisdom? Are you ready to serve God? And are you ready? Be ye also ready to serve God with all that ye have. Are you ready for what the world has to throw at you? And are you ready just to give your all to the Lord Jesus Christ. I recommend giving your all to the Lord. I recommend just giving that little bit. The old song says, little as much when God is in it. And if you just give that little bit to God, oh, what it may be for the reaching of precious, never dying souls and drawing them into saving grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Young people, what a privilege it is to know God. It's been a privilege to bring those little thoughts of this passage of Scripture. And I also encourage you to come this evening. We're going to look this evening to the book of Proverbs. And the words tell us in the Scripture, my son, give me thine heart. I pray that this evening that we'll not only be busy and individually being ready for the Lord and working for the Lord, but we'll give our heart over to the Lord. And I invite you to come along and hear what the Word of God has to say to us this evening. Let's close our meeting with a word of prayer. We thank you for spending time around God's precious Word. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of a morning service, and we thank thee for what we've heard both in the singing, the reading of thy scriptures, and the word to our hearts. And Lord, we pray that it would be that word in season, that, O Lord, when we go home, may it be desirous upon our hearts, O Lord, to just give our lives over to thee upon the altar day. O Lord, help us to give our very best. O Lord, we pray that you'll, O Lord, encourage the young people, encourage the Middle East people, encourage those that are older as well, that no matter how old or young they are, O Lord, to give our lives to God. O Lord, bear thy loving arms around about us and bless the people here in 6 Mile Cross and those around, O Lord, who's heard the meeting online. O Lord, we pray that thou would revive the hearts of people. Give us encouragement in these days of much discouragement. O Lord, may we sing like the children of old sang. O Lord, we're growing up ourselves hearing those words, God is still on the throne. And he will remember his own. His promise is true. He will not forget you. Praise God, we can sing it. God is still on the throne. Lord, we pray that thou'll part us with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety this morning, I pray, and draw us back this evening. To the gospel service, we pray in the Savior's name. Amen.